No Bunts, the podcast for the casual baseball fan here on The Athletic Baseball Show. I'm Tass Mellis, in studio in Atlanta, and with me, it's super producer JD.
Hello.
What's going on, JD? And with us all season long from Taiwan, but he's got Toronto in his heart, especially today, I'm sure. It's Joel McMillan. Joel, what's going on?
I am doing well. I'm happy to be here. Lots to talk about today, Tass.
Absolutely. Usually I ask you if you fed the cats, but you've got a new background for those of us following along on YouTube on the Athletic Baseball Show channel. A stadium. That's gorgeous. What stadium is that?
Okay, Tass, I'm going to give you a clue. It's in the country you were born in.
So it looks like the Sky Dome.
That's incorrect.
Okay. It's got old Sky Dome vibes. I thought maybe you put this weird roof on it. It's in Vancouver?
No, go east of Toronto.
That's the Montreal.
It's the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
Oui, je suis au Stade Olympique. It looks to grade five French. I remember that.
It looks different on a green screen.
You can see with it poking through my
a little green there. Poking through your headphones. Hey, okay. I love it. It looks like you're on the field. It feels great to be with you here, Joel. Yeah, I've got a Jays jersey on. I've got to be completely honest. I had to put it on today with this Yankees-Jays feud that we'll get to. But to be truthful here, I haven't washed it since I wore it a month ago on this show. So we're playing a doubleheader here, a month apart, I guess. But I had to wear it. I mean, we've got a feud to talk about. Quick housekeeping. Make sure you're checking out the Instagram account. Joel's doing a lot of great work over there. It's @no_bunts. We're having a lot of fun there, as we're going to have a lot of fun today, because we will be building custom stadiums. It's going to be so much fun. The three of us are going to construct a ballpark, pick our own city, team name, and more details of the stadium in a fun little draft format. We'll get to year out. We do that a lot here, where we have to eliminate one option. But first, the five best things in baseball this week. We got a great batch, Joel. You're going to give us the best value free agents from this past offseason, but we got to start in Toronto. I got Toronto on my brain thinking that the Olympique Stadium looks like the Sky Dome in the Rogers Center, where we had a legitimate baseball beef. Monday, Tuesday, the Yankees and the Jays got into it. The Jays accusing the Yankees of cheating. Aaron Judge on Monday in Toronto. Let's take you through some of the events. Eighth inning. He's up at the dish. First three pitches, he side-eyes his own dugout. He's looking into his own dugout as he's squaring up for the pitch. He's getting ready for the pitch. Three times he looks over to his own dugout. Jays broadcasters caught it. Incredible stuff by Schulman and Buck to catch it right there. Later in the at-bat, 3-2, side-eyes the dugout again and then goes yard on that same pitch. So was he getting signals from the dugout? Well, after the game, he said there he was looking there because he wanted his team to pipe down about the umpiring. Okay, interesting stuff. Is Jay Jackson tipping pitches? What's going on? Well, post-game, John Schneider, Jay's manager, said that the third base coach was way out of the box. The Yankees third base coach may have been picking up the signals from the catcher, relaying it to the bench, who relayed it to Judge. Well, Judge will say, hey, that was my second home run of the night. You can't fault me for just banging home runs. Well, the next night, it continued. Yankees starter Domingo Germán tossed from the game for having a sticky substance after just three innings. Yankees say it was rosin, this and that. The umpires checked it. He's out of there. The Jays coaches yelling about the third base coach, Luis Rojas, being outside of the box again. You even saw John Schneider, Joel, say to someone, shut up, fatty. You can read his lips.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all in two games of a baseball game. And then the eighth inning again, Aaron Judge staring directly at the picture, directly at Eric Swanson, not taking his eyes off the pitcher for one sec, goes yard and he breaks a maple leaf in center field. It hit off the corner of a maple leaf. The national symbol of our home country, Joel. So what's your take on all of this?
Pass, this is grade A Japanese Wagyu beef, the finest of fine beefs. It's great. As a fan, I absolutely love it. I mean, as a Blue Jays fan, I love it. It creates drama. It creates great entertainment. I've enjoyed it. I mean, it's crushing as a Jays fan, you know, the past two nights, you know, to lose these two games at home.
Yeah, I didn't even include that because it's almost an afterthought. But yeah, Judgy, three home runs, two games, and taking care of business.
It's in Toronto, too. It's tough. But, I mean, Judge is Judge. I mean, and he always hits well in Toronto, too. But, Tess, I just wanted to bring up a couple points. In all of this, as exciting as it is, I think it's a bad look on both sides. I think it's a bad look on New York in the sense that, you know, they vehemently denied Judge cheating. And, you know, I'll let you be the judge on that. I'm not going to try to, you know, convince you one way or the other. But then for them to vehemently deny it and then the next night, you know, their pitcher gets busted for cheating. It's a bad look for New York. I feel Boone was being really petty. I mean, I thought it was entertaining, but it was also, he was being very petty about the Jays third base coach, you know, telling him to get back in the box and things like that. So I think it was a bad look for New York, but I also think it was a bad look for Toronto too. I don't like Schneider, you know, saying what he said. I'm not offended by it. I just think it's kind of, you know, a bit low class, and Toronto just kind of looks whiny, and it looks like they're making excuses. And, you know, Tass, I love Shulman. I love Buck. Like, I grew up listening to these guys, but I think you need a bit more evidence than just Judge kind of glancing over his bench. I understand how it looks a bit odd.
Well, I guess they were just pointing it out.
Right. But
he's locked in on the okay, so you're saying there's additional. But just to defend them, Judge is locked in the batter's box. He's ready to hit, and they caught his eyes looking towards the Yankees dugout, which is odd. I think that's fair to say. But you're saying Shulman went further than that.
Well, I was reading, like, kind of in the article after Shulman, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he said, I don't want to go throwing accusations around, but, you know, well, then don't frame it like that. Don't say it like that. I mean, he's kind of accusing them with, you know, without directly coming out and saying it. Again, I love Shulman. Like I said, one of the greats, but you know, I think you kind of got to be a bit careful with something like that.
I think, sure, you got to be careful, but he was making an observation. In their defense, I think they did an incredible job of seeing that as it happened. The hitter's eyes just glancing over, and in the end, you know, evaluating the whole thing, did they do anything wrong? The Jays said, you know, unless they have some giant, you know, Astros-like operation over there where they're using some other sort of technology, that is totally within the rules of baseball to be signaling to their hitter that the pitcher is tipping pitches, which it sure felt like maybe happening in that instance. But as we've talked about, the Yankees third base coach way out of the box, and maybe he is the one sending sending the signals to the dugout.
Yeah, and also to touch just another point, Jay Jackson actually said after the game, I think actually with an interview with The Athletic, they, you know, someone had spoken with him.
Yeah, Jay Jackson, may have been tipping the pitches, right?
Yeah, even had said, like, I was tipping, or I was probably tipping. And he, you know, he seemed to take it like a pro. He said, if that's the case, like, that's fine. All the power to them, you know, if I have a tell. And that's completely within the rules of the game. That's just part of baseball. It has been for, you know, forever. So I'm not going to be critical of that. But Tass, it's exciting. I really hope we win tonight, because Tass, if New York comes in and sweeps us, I know it's only May, but I mean, just, it will just really hurt the soul if we drop this game tonight. And even in the first game, we were losing 7-0. We had a late rally. And then I thought, you know, when Jermaine got kicked out, we came back and tied it up. I was like, oh, we got this momentum. And, you know, but it was exciting. If you're a baseball fan, great drama, great excitement. Gotta love it.
Yeah, and that's after the Jays swept the Braves over the weekend, who are obviously playing extremely well. It is, Yeah, when you zoom out and you see Herman toss the next day, it's a bad look for Aaron Boone. Yeah, I didn't mention that was funny that Aaron Boone was complaining about the Jays third base coach being out of the box the next day. Very funny stuff. And it was Schneider with the fatty comment. It was also the pitching coach, Pete Walker, that was the most vocal about the third base coach, Luis Rojas, doing the pointing and yelling for him to get back in the box. In the end, I really don't think the Yankees did anything wrong. The Herman incident aside, we're talking, mm-hmm. Big picture, Astros, like people trying making that comparison, you got to say it's unfounded. And I will say, Joel, you mentioned this beforehand, Alek Manoah, Jay's starter, also called Gerrit Cole a cheater.
Yeah.
Earlier on this season, he was on Serge Ibaka's show. Try and follow along with that. He was on Serge Ibaka's cooking show, former Toronto Raptor, and called Gerrit Cole a cheater. A lot of juicy stuff here.
Yeah, Tess, as a Jays fan, I love them. Of course, I'm going to love them, but they just make it so difficult sometimes. I think they just need to listen to the No Doubt song, Don't Speak, okay? Mm-hmm. Just chill out. Just relax. Stop with the comments. Stop with the insinuations. And, Cole, Manoah said that about Cole, and he's followed that up with he's been one of the worst starting pitchers this year. Cole beat him in a head-to-head game early in New York. Now, that said, that was Manoah's best game of the year. It was a very close game. And then Manoah had made a comment earlier in the year. He said, pressure is what they put in tires. And since he made that comment, he's 1-4 with an ERA over 6 and a whip approaching 2. I love Manoah, but he just needs to kind of chill out and focus on being a better pitcher. I think the pitch clock task is having a really big impact on him. He's one of those guys, and I've read that a couple different places. So I hope he gets it together. I will. The talent's there, but just kind of chill out on if you want to trash talk, you got to back it up. And the Jays haven't really done that. Vladdy said this year was the trailer. Next year is going to be the main movie or whatever. Manoah says that. You got to back it up, because if you don't, you just look like total clowns. So let's just chill out.
I love this yin and yang that we've got going on. I didn't really expect it from you, Joel, but you want to be the calm one. Put it in neutral. Let's figure this out on the baseball field. Well, I say turn it up a notch. Keep the chatting going. You are a true Jays fan. You live and die with them. I heard the we in there. They're 6 games above 500. They're now mm-hmm. tied with the Yankees, as the Yankees have picked up a couple games, and we'll see what happens as we record here Wednesday night. You mentioned the pitch clock. That brings us to a related number 2 here on our 5 best things in baseball this week. Kenley Jansen, Red Sox closer, just converted his 400th save. Congrats to him. Our friends at the 3-0 show were debating if he's going into the Hall. And then, with everything looking up for Kenley, he had a very bad 24 hours. What happened with Kenley Jansen, Joel?
Yeah, so he had a ceremony Friday night at Fenway Park, to mark this great career achievement. And then he proceeded to go out and blow the save Friday night. And then he blew the save Saturday afternoon as well. You feel for the guy, to have that ceremony, then basically to go out and do that. And Red Sox fans, Tess, aren't exactly forgiving, but I don't blame them. Although, Tess, I don't think any fan base would be very forgiving if your closer went out and blew 2 consecutive games. It's just bad timing. Relievers they can be very hot and very cold. Guys are up and down all the time. I think it's just bad timing. And I just feel bad. It really kind of takes the shine off what should be, a great story and a great accomplishment for him. But it's early. The Red Sox have kind of been punching above their weight. They got swept by St. Louis. I think they've dropped 1 of 2 to Seattle this week. So they're kind of coming back to earth. But I just kind of feel bad for Jansen. It's just a tough 24 hours.
The AL East has been absolutely incredible. All 5 teams above 500, including those Red Sox, as you said, punching above their weight a little bit. Kenley Jansen going there for his first season there has looked really good. And I did mention the pitch clock fiasco. With Kenley Jansen specifically, I know we've been talking about the pitch clock a bunch this season, but it really hasn't caused a lot of problems. Even with Jansen, who, according to some, according to the website Baseball Savant, he was the slowest pitcher last season, hasn't had a problem with it this year. Mm-hmm. But in one of those saves opportunities, Wilson Contreras of the Cardinals was able to find a way around the rule. So Contreras was hitting against Kenley Jansen, and here's the rule, you can't start your motion until the pitcher is ready. So I'm sorry, until the hitter is ready. So that's mm-hmm. the rule there. So Wilson Contreras, he got in the box with one foot, and he raised his bat and looked toward the mound a couple times, basically multiple pitches, but his feet weren't in the box fully. Both of his feet weren't in the box, if you're following along with me. So Kenley Jansen started his motion and was immediately stopped, and a ball was called. And it happened again. Contreras ready for this. I mean, they told him, obviously, and he said it after the game, I found a way around the rules to sort of raise my bat, look toward the mound, but not fully put my feet in. And another ball was called, and he got on base. He was the tying run, and he needed a way around that, because in 7 at-bats against Kenley Jansen, he had never been on base. And so that was mm-hmm. one sneaky move there. I'm kind of tired of you know, these little tricks around the rules. There haven't been too many of them. We got a Scherzer, you know, doing his thing as always. But really, I think we're going to stop talking about these pitch clock rules. But that was just one point of how Contreras mm-hmm. got around the rules for Kenley Jansen, who's still at 35 years of age. He's throwing harder than he was earlier in his career. And he's doing really well. I mean, as we said, a bad 48 hours, but he's showed up well for the Boston Red Sox. So I had to throw that in there, even though I hate myself when I bring up these pitch clock stories. I gotta be honest. I'm just kind of tired of guys trying to get around the rules, and hopefully that'll be the last time we talk about it. Let's talk about some great free agent signings, Joel, that you wanted to get to. Not something that's exclusively happened this week, mm-hmm. But again, best value free agent signings that we're seeing so far, you know, 6 weeks into the season. Who's on your list, Joel? Oh, I see a Blue Jay. We'll get out of the AL East one day, but I see a Blue Jay, baby.
yeah, Tass, I feel like we're spending a lot of time there this show so far. But the best, you know, the best value free agent signing so far to me, I mean, it's a slam dunk. It's Kevin Kiermaier, the Toronto Blue Jays. He signed for $9 million this year. He signed for a 1-year deal. Tass, he's the best number 9 hitter. I mean, the guy gets a ton of base hits. He's got speed. He's a great defender. He just completely changes the dynamic of that outfield. And Tass, outfield defense is really something that Toronto has been lacking in recent years with Teoscar Hernandez and Gurriel and Springer. I mean, Springer is a good defender, but the corner outfielders were just not great defenders at all. So, you know, having a guy like Kiermaier come in, who's a plus defender, just completely changes the dynamic. And he's a great number 9 hitter, Tass. He's the best number 9 hitter, I feel, in the league. He turns the lineup over. He gets big hits. He does everything you want from a baseball player. He's already posted, now Tass, earmuffs, he's already posted 1.4 wins above replacement.
Thank you.
Which is very good. So yeah, I mean, at $9 million, I mean, I feel that's the absolute best value free agent. And I just wanted to give honorable mention to two other players, Nathan Eovaldi, the pitcher for the Texas Rangers. Now, he's making $17 million. You're like, yeah, $17 million, that's a lot of money. But I mean, that's kind of, you know, when you look at the market for pitchers, I mean, for context, Verlander and Scherzer are making, I think, over $40 million or close to it. And even, you know, the DeGrom, who is a teammate of Eovaldi's in Texas, is making much more too. But I mean, Eovaldi, you know, goes deep into games. The last 3 games he's pitched 8 or more innings. He's had a complete game. All 3 of those have been wins. I feel he's a big part of Texas's early success this year. I've always liked Eovaldi. I've seen a lot of him in the AL East. He's pitched for a couple AL East teams. He's always been good. So I feel like at $17 million, you know, when you're looking at what some pitchers are getting, $17 million and what he's put up is great value. And the other honorable mention, Tass, is Cody Bellinger. Basically, the Dodgers let him go. He just kind of got space jammed. I don't know what happened. His talent just disappeared after his MVP season. You know, a lot of people said it was because of the shoulder injury that he suffered. That might be true. But, you know, he was a great player. And then all of a sudden he wasn't. He signed a 1-year deal with the Cubs to rebuild his value. Also, I think at $17 million, all of his numbers are up. His power numbers are up. He's walking more. He's getting more hits. And Taz, just for context, last year in 144 games, he posted a 1.4 F war. Sorry, 1.8 F war. And this year, just by mid-May, he's already posted a 1.4. So he's basically almost, you know, his value, he's basically almost put up the same war in basically 5 or 6 weeks than he did in a whole season last year. And I love Bellinger. I mean, he's a great player. I always like his personality. I think he's just a funny dude. He's a chill dude. So it's good to see him back. And I think, Tass, like, if he keeps this up, he's a shoo-in for comeback player of the year, for sure.
Quickly with that stat, 1.8 versus 1.4, you're saying, for Bellinger this year versus last.
So last year, in 144 games, he posted a 1.8 F4. And this year, he's already posted a 1.4 F4. So he's basically almost exceeded his output.
Oh, so that's a cumulative stat. So he will eventually reach 1.8 is what you're saying, and surpass it.
Oh, I mean, if he keeps this up, I think he left the game the other night. He got hurt. I don't know how serious it is, but I mean, if he keeps on this trajectory, he'll pass this by the end of May.
Because wins above replacement, just this regular stat, dropping the F, we're not hitting F5 here. It's just regular war. That's not a cumulative stat. That's just wins above replacement.
No, it is a cumulative stat. Like, you accumulate it as the year
towards the end goes
like,
on.
As the year goes on. Yeah. So I mean, it can increase and it can decrease. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very interesting stuff. I'm sure we'll go through those stats one day. But Cody Bellinger, yeah, he's great, and he made a great catch against Houston. They're wearing their Space City jerseys, their City Connect jerseys, and he goes up into space into center field. He's done that a couple times. Did it against his old team, the Dodgers. So thanks for taking us through it. Bellinger, yeah, comeback player of the year. Eovaldi, not getting the shine, obviously, because I think because DeGrom is there, but he's been great. 2.7 ERA for him. And Kevin Kiermaier. Well, we're done talking about the Blue Jays, but he has been awesome. He said when he signed, I love the renovated stadium. I love the center field fence. I'm going to go above that fence and catch a ball. And he did it in the first frickin' game there. So he said it in December. And then it is cool to watch some great outfield defense. The renovations bringing down the fence in the Rogers Center that isn't the building that you're sitting in front of, but kind of looks like it. Anyway, it's been great for him, Varsho, and Springer. If you like defense, you should watch the Toronto Blue Jays outfield play ball. So we've gone through three of the five best things in baseball this week. Let's move on because we got to build a friggin' stadium, and I know that's going to take us a bit. But I had to include a walk-off bunt. It doesn't happen. Watch this. We had a walk-off bunt. I would feel like we're doing listeners a disservice if we didn't include this. First and third, one out, bottom of the ninth. It's a tie game. And Royals, Freddie Fermin, squared up at the last second, surprised the pitcher, and laid it down. It was a 98.3 mile per hour pitch, a little difficult to square up. Drops it down. He squeezed in a runner from third. It's a walk-off bunt. Walk-off bunts are rare, Joel. I wanted to throw these stats at you. It's not quite F-war, but in the last five seasons, there have been just three walk-off bunts. And according to the Elias Sports Bureau, it's happened 20 times in the last 20 seasons. And for a point of reference, in the last 20 seasons, there have been 63 no-hitters and 215 three-home run games. So it's far more rare than those. A couple interesting ones. John Lester had a walk-off bunt as a pinch hitter. Really weird. Wow. With two strikes in the bottom of the 12th inning against the Mariners in 2016. Melvin Mora had one against his rival Yankees in 2007. And there was three in the playoffs. Ramon Hernandez going back in game one of the 0-3 ALDS between his A's and the Red Sox. So that's one of three in postseason history, just to throw a few out there. But the show is called No Bunts. I saw a walk-off bunt. I got to appreciate a guy squaring up and finishing off a game. I love it. I like it in that instance. We obviously don't see a lot of bunts in today's game. But in that instance, it's a smart move.
Yeah. Yeah, Tess, I hate bunting to sacrifice a runner. It's such a waste of an out. I know some people might disagree with me, you know, more the old school fan, but it's just a waste of an out. But bunting for a base hit, I'm all for. It's an exciting play. If you're good at bunting and you think you can make it, like, absolutely go for it. I feel like, you know, you still see guys bunting for hits. That's not completely absent in the game anymore. Just bunting in general is down because, you know, kind of the strategy of the game has evolved a bit. But I love bunting for a base hit, and I have no problem for it. Just bunting to get a guy over, absolutely just no. Get out of here. Miss me with that.
That's why we're called No Bunts. Although in this instance, as Chris J says, amongst the bleacher creatures watching YouTube, he says, yes, bunts. And he also says it's more rare than an inside the park home run. A walk-off bunt, more rare than inside the park home run. I don't have the stat on that. Not totally clear, but hey, if someone's saying in the bleacher amongst the bleacher creatures, then I'm good with it. And I believe it. So moving on here, before we build our own stadiums, last story we want to get to from the week that was in MLB. The Diamondbacks' Christian Walker didn't like a couple calls when he struck out. Next inning, from the bench, he did some clapping for a teammate, and he was ejected. Excuse me? What happened, Joel?
Yeah, I mean, just what you said. I don't think it was malicious or anything, and I don't even really... Like, apparently it wasn't even sarcastic. I mean, it might have been, but who knows? But yeah, Walker basically got tossed, and you can kind of see his reaction. He throws his hands up. Tess, I gotta be real. Like, this bothers me. The umpiring, I feel, has progressively gotten worse, and it's beginning, I feel, to have an effect on the on-field product. And the reason I say that, Tess, is because the ejections are just so quick. And like, if you get in an umpire's face and you want to swear at him and stuff like that, okay, you're out of the game. I get that. But guys just have these umpires just have a quick trigger finger, just the slightest thing. And this is, you know, case one of, I feel, dozens and dozens of these cases in recent years where a guy doesn't even really do something that warrants an ejection. Tess, go back and look at like old games from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and even early 2000s. You know, players and managers would come out and we'd get animated. I love watching that kind of stuff. I feel like a lot of ball fans do. And, you know, some of those guys got ejected, but not all the time. But now it's like, you know, you throw your helmet down with a bit of force and you're kicked out of the game, or you kind of give the umpire kind of a bit of a look and you're out of the game. That's ridiculous. People don't come to see the umpires. Tass, imagine you go with your family and, you know, you're on vacation and you really want to see like Mike Trout, and you pay good money. And this is maybe your only chance to see Mike Trout. And he slightly argues a call in the first inning and he's out of the game. Well, that ruins your whole experience. That just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Stuff like that needs to be out of the game. I'm all for robot umps, you know, write it down. I'm all for robot umps. They're coming, and hopefully hopefully that will negate, you know, some of this, because it's just foolish. You don't come to see the umps, you come to see the players. It's ridiculous.
Yes, my family would hate seeing umpires. I actually put on my umpire / catcher mask recently that I found in my garage. Scared the crap out of my kids. So you're totally right, Joel. Yeah, in this instance, Walker was at the plate the inning prior. He took strike two, didn't like the call, and then he checked his swing on strike three. First base ump said he went around K. He was yelling as he went back to the dugout. Next inning, his teammate Nick Ahmed up at the plate. A check swing went Ahmed's way, so he was clapping from the bench. Yeah, yeah, he was clapping, and you could hear it in Chase Field in Arizona, clearly on the broadcast. Our friends at Nonsense Sports did a good... are they our friends? I don't know. We'll find out. But they did a good job of breaking it down on YouTube. And then you could hear it, and the umpire didn't like it. Marquez, the umpire, He heard it. It was clear as day, and he felt it was towards him. It happened a second time, and he just said, "No more clapping. You're gone." And I'm totally with you. It was
but for clapping. I mean, come on. It was like really clapping. Get out of here.
It was a thin-skinned umpire. There's no doubt about it. All right, Joel. I've been staring at this book I have in front of me. It's called Ballparks. I can't wait to build a ballpark with you and JD. Oh, nice. after this quick break. We're going to build our own custom stadiums. We'll be right back after a very quick break. Welcome back to No Bunts. We are building our own custom stadium. We've been waiting to do this for a while here on No Bunts since the beginning of the season. We're going to build our stadiums using these four categories. We're going to pick a city and team name. Can't be a current MLB city. New team, new city. Then we're going to have a unique characteristic in that stadium. That'll be our second round of picks. We are going to create a signature snack and drink for the stadium, and then a post-game stadium celebration. All three of us will be drafting, and then we'll take a look back at who did it best. You guys will tell us. Make sure you hit us up on Instagram, @no_bunts, or people live here will tell us who did it best. The listeners will decide. So it's the three of us here. Joel, since you live the furthest, we're giving you the advantage. You're up in the top of the first. You'll get first pick. So city and team name. Joel, what do you got?
Okay. So for city, I'm going to go Salt Lake City. Uh-huh. And the name of the team is going to be the Salt Lake City Mountaineers. Obviously, there's lots of beautiful nature, lots of beautiful mountains in Utah. And the name of my stadium is going to be called the Apex.
Interesting. Tell us more about the Apex. Just the name. The name that you're going. I know it's self-explanatory. It's a mountain. Done.
Yeah. Well, Tass, I'm going to actually come back to that when I talk about my snacks. Okay. So we'll just put a pin in that.
All right. The SLC Mountaineers, Salt Lake City Mountaineers. Stadium's called the Apex. JD, to you.
Well, let's see. What's still on the board? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll take Austin. No, I'm just kidding, Tass.
I already called it pre-show.
Pre-show, yeah. This guy. We're supposed to be doing a draft. I've got like eight teams, eight cities here, and then the WhatsApp fires up, and it's like, oh, by the way, guys, I'm taking Austin. I'm like, what? Okay, it wasn't even on the list.
It wasn't on the list, but
Salt Lake City was on my list, so you're welcome, Joel.
It's on MLB's expansion list, MLB's expansion list as well. They might be having a team in Salt Lake City. JD, you got a list that doesn't include Austin, but you had to reveal the pre-show secret. Damn, man.
I've got still a basketball. Burns my ass.
I got a basketball show to get ready for. I didn't want to pivot. I'm ready with Austin. Spoiler alert, I'm going with Austin.
Fair enough. I'm going, this was at the top of my list anyways. I'm surprised neither of you wanted it. Montreal, guys, come on. I just had a great episode of Is This Good with Ariel Helwani two weeks ago. Talked about how he was riding home on the subway from Shea Stadium, the final Expos game he went to. Tears as a child running down his cheeks. So devastated that Montreal was losing their MLB team. So I'm going Montreal, and they're going to be called the Montreal Smoked Meat.
I like that. Actually, I like that.
I mean, a lot of beef talk today, so why not? All Montreal right. Smoked Meat.
Great stuff. Great stuff. All right. I don't know how I can follow that up, but I'm going to Austin.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an automatic rivalry with the Rangers and Houston. You go up to 35 to go to Dallas, to Arlington. You go down the 45 to get to Houston. I'm calling them the Austin Grackles. What the hell's a grackle?
It's a grackle.
It's a menacing bird.
A grackle?
Yeah.
Oh, so is that an actual bird, or that's just a way to...
No, it's a bird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're common in the Austin area.
Okay.
I've done my research, contacted some family members in Austin. Basically, I passed this off to them, but I think they've done incredibly well. It's a menacing bird in the Austin area. They're kind of like crow like look.
It's like a handsome crow. I'm looking at one right now.
Handsome crow. Yeah. Thank you. They're going to be pecking all those Houston Astros rockets. I mean, I think we've got a good rivalry going. We're starting off with the SLC Mountaineers, the Montreal Smoke Meat, and the Austin Grackles. Great start. Joel, let's go to the unique characteristic of your ballpark.
Okay. So I've never been to Utah, but it honestly looks like one of the most beautiful places on earth with all of the mountains and the nature. You know, Tass, you were there recently, were you? Didn't you guys go there in the winter?
All of us were there for the NBA All-Star game in
February. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Spectacular.
Yeah, looks absolutely beautiful. So Tass, to me, like, my kind of unique feature is the center field view. Mm-hmm. It has to, like, it's going to be completely open. And so you can see the Rocky Mountains in center field. That's going to kind of be the centerpiece of my stadium. And instead of having bleachers, I'm going to have like an open AstroTurf area. The Salt Lake City Bees, the minor league team, their stadium's actually pretty good. It kind of does this. And it kind of highlights the beauty of the mountains. So instead of like a standing room, it's going to be like kind of a sitting area. So you've got the beautiful center field view of the mountains. And Tass, for the exterior of the stadium, it has to be a retractable roof because of the weather. But I want it to be all glass and I want it to resemble a mountain. I want it to resemble like an actual beautiful mountain. Okay. And it would all be transparent. So you would get all of the natural light in, and you'd have to play a lot of day games because I really want to accentuate the beauty of Utah. So that would kind of be my unique features, just having that beautiful center field with the Rocky Mountains in the distance.
I'm already nicknaming it the greenhouse.
Mm.
'Cause that's kind of what you're like with the glass roof, you know? It'd be so hot in there. Can you imagine?
Oh, they got air conditioning, though.
We'll throw in some AC. The Nippon Hokkaido Ham Fighters have a similar design, but their roof is not it's not transparent. But center field is all glass, and it just looks absolutely beautiful. It's a brand new stadium. You can go check it out. So I would want it something akin to that, but have it all just kind of glass. Yeah, in the shape of a mountain.
I think Mercedes-Benz has, on either side, has big glass windows, right? Like, you can see outside, even when the roof is closed. Am I dreaming?
Which stadium?
Mercedes-Benz here in Atlanta.
Sort of like Globe Life Field for the Rangers, where I think a lot of new ballparks are utilizing this, where you walk into the stadium and the concourse feels like it's really open and you're seeing glass windows as much as possible, as much as engineering allows for it, because you know, people just want it open. I think that's what Joel is going for here with the skylight, essentially an incredible skylight that's shaped. Go ahead. I see you want to rebut.
Well, yeah, I wanted to kind of build on your point. Please. Yeah, like the open concourse areas, you're just surround like a panoramic, you know, kind of view or surrounding of all that beautiful nature there in Salt Lake. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's going, again, just to clarify, that glass is going to look like a mountain, like a mountain range.
It's going to resemble a mountain. It's going to resemble an actual mountain. I know it sounds insane. Mm-hmm. Kind of like not in the same vein of like the old Memphis pyramid, in that vein. Now I think it's a Bass Pro Shop, but kind of in that vein. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. The Bass Pro Shop. All right. I'm going to go with something similar a little bit later. So I like how you set people up, but mine will be better, I think, than yours. But I like where you're going, Joel. I find it interesting. You mentioned Mercedes-Benz Stadium here in Atlanta. They have a very small opening at the top that is retractable. Small is a relative word. It's probably like, I don't know.
It's like a sunroof on a car almost.
Yeah.
It's not like you don't, even when the roof is open, you don't feel like you're outside. You're just like,
yes. Yes.
It's nice that when it's open, but.
Yeah. It's for all those well-traveled, it's like the Pantheon, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's kind of like, it's what it is to me. I worry about yours, Joel, when you retract, or will you be able to tell? I guess not when you retract, but will you be able to tell that the stadium is, can you tell that it's a mountain range? Will you be able to notice Because sometimes when I'm at, let's say, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I don't even notice what's going on up there. I just don't look at it up there. But I guess this is huge.
That's a good question, Tass. I'll have to talk to the engineers and the architects about this one. I'll get back to you. I'll send it to you in an email later.
Yeah. You're totally right about not... When you're in Mercedes-Benz, like, well, I've been in there before, and it's like, oh, is it raining? And looking up and then realizing, being there for hours and then realizing, oh, the roof is open. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But hold on. I mean, I'm projecting Mercedes-Benz on Joel's stadium.
Yeah, that's not fair.
It's not fair. Your engineers are going to do an incredible job. And it wasn't a great question. Don't even pander to me. It wasn't a great question. You've got an incredible mountain rangey glass skylight that's taken over the stadium. That's your unique characteristic for the SLC Mountaineers. Is it okay that I'm calling them the SLC Mountaineers and not the Salt Lake City Mountaineers, by the way?
I'm not mad at you, Tess. Okay. I'm not mad at you. Go ahead.
JD, what's your unique characteristic?
So we're going to build the stadium in Old Montreal, which is going to be difficult. So it's not going to be the biggest stadium.
Okay.
But it's going to be... I want to incorporate it somehow into Notre Dame Basilica. So it... Like, almost... You know how in Union Station in Toronto, they sort of built around it and they built up and around it? That's kind of what I want to do with the arena.
Yeah. Or even Scotiabank Arena to some
degree. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that great one. That was an old post office, I believe.
Yeah.
So, that's what I want to do. So inside, it'll be almost church-like. And I'm already nicknaming the... You know, we'll buy whatever corporate sponsor wants to, you know, the Tim Hortons dome or whatever we want to call it. But it's going to be nicknamed the church, and everything's going to be, you know, religious iconography from all religions around, you know, the similar, you know, scenic views, windows, but they're going to be stained glass. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the stained glass are going to be like the patron saints of baseball and stuff. You know, you're going to have your, Rance Mullenix will be on one, you know, it's the first name that came to my head. But yeah, we'll call it the church, and it's going to be in Old Montreal. It's going to be really, really convenient to get there on the, what do they call it there? The Metro?
Yep.
You know, and then people from Toronto just hop on the Via Rail. They'll go up there. It'll be Canada's second team. Everybody's going to be really excited about the Montreal Smoked Meat. I can't wait.
All right. So, yeah, the church is employed in there. Stained glass, a lot of glass. Got to be able to see outside. Very mm-hmm. important stuff, as we saw in Utah. Very, very, very important with Joel Stadium as well. Getting good feedback here for both of you guys.
Great.
on YouTube here, Chris J says, great themes, guys. Sounds like a beautiful venue. And love the name Grackles for me. So we're doing great.
Wow.
Everybody, we're doing great.
We're neck and neck here.
All right. So the church, it's a nickname. Very, very similar to me where I'm going with my my Austin Grackles venue. Mine will be called the Violet Crown. Probably just the crown, because the area of Austin is known as the Violet Crown. That's a nickname. And the stadium is going to look like a crown. So encircling the top of the structure will be points of the crown, essentially. Like it's literally going to be and feel like a crown. We're going to get so many damn aerial shots of this place. That's what we're going to do. That's just what we're going to do. There's going to be a lot of purple. It will be called the Violet Crown Stadium, I think. And I think people will say, we're going down to the crown for a game. And yeah, that's the thing. That's nice. The thing. It'll look like a crown. I think even with Joel's, we're relying here on engineers to take us into the 21st century of ballparks. Like make them look as unique as possible, like objects. So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. You're not worried about Kansas City Royals coming after you saying, hey, you're cutting our grass over here. That's our thing.
That's what we do here in engineering and baseball. We take a little bit from everybody.
Okay.
I am a little bit more worried about the Sacramento Kings basketball team.
Oh,
I'm stealing a lot from them.
Oh, you lighten a beam after every... Well, we'll get there.
We'll get there. All right. So the signature snack and drink category here, Joel, for the Salt Lake City Mountaineers.
Okay, so Tess, in my research, I found out some interesting stuff about Utah. And there is a very famous pastrami hamburger. Now, for the record, this burger did not originate in Utah. It originated in Southern California, but according to people in Utah, they perfected it. So this is my stadium snack. It's an open bun pastrami burger, toasted brioche bun, a tomato, Swiss cheese. Tass, cover that with Russian dressing. Here's the name, but here is the name of the burger, because I'm going to throw it out to everybody here. It's either going to be called the Pastrami Peak or the Salt Lake Summit.
Mm.
Oh, I nailed that. Absolutely nailed it.
I can tell how excited you were to tell us that. I felt like I was
all afternoon.
I felt like I was at a Salt Lake City restaurant on opening day, and the employee of the month was serving me. But yeah, okay. It was great.
I love pastrami too. Like, it's one of my favorite deli meats. So put it up there.
Nice.
And they do in Montreal too. Maybe you guys can collab a little bit. So Pastrami Peak or the Salt Lake City Summit. It's an open-faced pastrami burger, did you call it? Sandwich?
Burger. Yeah, it's basically an open-faced burger. Yeah, so their one is just like a traditional burger.
Okay.
And I think they use a sesame bun. I'm just going to slightly change it. And they serve it with Thousand Island dressing. Come on, Thousand Island dressing? Get out of here. Russian dressing.
Isn't that the same thing?
They're not. There's different ingredients. I looked it up. Yeah. Okay. I won't get into it, but they're very similar, but they're not the same. Yeah.
Wow. Too bready? Are you worried about that aspect with your brioche bun? Or is it a crushable, soft, squishy bun?
Oh, you can crush this task. You can crush it actually and metaphorically. You can do both.
Okay. I wonder.
Dig in.
I wonder, the Salt Lake City Summit. I think the summit is better than the Pastrami Peak, but you know what? Both are great. All right. So the Pastrami Peak, Salt Lake City Summit, open face pastrami burger with Swiss cheese and Russian sauce on a brioche bun.
There you go.
Sounds delicious. No drink. I thought you made up these categories.
Oh yeah. Drink. Yeah. Drink. We're just going to keep it simple because, you know, Utah's a bit more chill. We're just going to go traditional Arnold Palmer. Just a nice, refreshing Arnold Palmer.
Nice.
A virgin Arnold Palmer. Okay.
Well, there's no alcohol in Arnold Palmer. Yeah. There's no verge.
No. Some people are making it into an alcoholic beverage, but you're right. You're right. Okay. You're right.
Turning it into a John Daly, but I'm going to keep it Arnold
Palmer.
You're right.
Okay. JD, what's your signature snack and drink?
Yeah. I mean, it's Montreal. It was sort of a Sophie's choice, so I'm taking two of my favorite things from Montreal and mashing them into one. So we got Montreal smoked meat. Sorry to cut your grass, Joel, but pastrami, good. Montreal smoked meat, better, in my opinion. I mean, they're very, very, very similar. Mm-hmm. And then I'm taking that and I'm putting it on a Montreal bagel. So it's like a smoked meat sandwich on a Montreal bagel. And I'm keeping it simple, too. I don't know if this is traditional, like, Montreal deli, but a Cots. Remember Cots, the soda brand?
Oh, yeah.
It was like one of those brands of pop where you're at the grocery store and you're just like, hey, Mom, let's get some Coke. And they're like, we have Coke at home, but it's not Coke. It's Cots.
which
is not the same. But
RC Cola. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Cots actually makes a really good black cherry soda. So that's – and I think Cots might be a Quebec company. Mm. So we're going Cots black cherry soda along with the Montreal smoked meat on a Montreal bagel.
Took two things that people love there, the smoked meat and the Montreal bagel, combined them.
Is it too much? I don't know.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Good feedback. Okay. I'm going to keep up with my my sort of regal theme with my Violet Crown Stadium. We're going down to the Crown, and we're just going to have turkey legs. They do really, really, really great. It's like we're eating at medieval times.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They do really great smoked meat barbecue in Texas. That's what they do. So the turkey legs are going to be top notch. The drink to go along with it is going to be in a regal sort of chalice.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be plastic, probably, but reusable. And yeah, bring it back and fill your chalice with Longhorn Lager, as we pander to the Hook'em horns. We'll get Matthew McConaughey down here to have a turkey leg and some Longhorn Lager. You guys are more creative. You killed it. Yeah, you can hear the disappointment in my voice as I talk about my turkey leg and Longhorn Lager. But
hey, smoked turkey, underrated. Like it's turkey in a smoker. Oof, so good.
It's not as good as smoked beef, though.
You're right. That's true. But it's fun to. It's a good image, like the big turkey leg with the chalice. We're at the Crown.
Yeah, I think I'd rather go to my stadium, but I think I'd rather eat at your stadiums. Mm. Well, listen, you guys are all doing great. You're all doing great. So let's go. Let's finish off the Apex. What's your post-game stadium celebration, Joel?
Okay, so Tess, if the home team wins, if the Mountaineers get the W, a giant animatronic mountain will emerge from center field. It'll be very tacky. And like, Tess, do you remember that old statue the Miami Marlins had in their new stadium, but they actually removed it? It was with the Dolphins. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it would be something akin to that. That was such a weird thing to have in that stadium, but it's so campy and tacky, but I loved it. So it'd be like that, and it would emerge from center field, and this animatronic mountaineer would climb the mountain while the song, and I gotta look this up, Rocky Mountain Way by Joe Walsh plays. And when the Mountaineer gets to the top, he plants a flag that says Mountaineers win. And then just listen to the smooth sounds of Joe Walsh. And I looked it up. That song is not about drugs, alcohol, or anything bad. It's about his experience leaving a band. So good family fun. Great song. Let's just celebrate a Mountaineers win.
That's such a slow grinding song as well. It's going to take forever for that guy to get to the top.
I know.
Of the epic,
it's just, I know, you're right. But it's a smooth song and it comes on and you just kind of bob your head and lean forward. I'm like, yeah, Mountaineers win. Let's go. So that's my celebration.
It's going to make you want to stick around the stadium. Sometimes these celebrations are so quick. I mean, you see them and then you're done. It happens here down in Atlanta. Fireworks, done. In this instance, you're going to see that slow animatronic mountaineer going up.
Savor it. Savor that wind.
It makes me think of The Price is Right.
Mm, yeah.
That's exactly, I love, like when you're, remember like the old games at the exhibition when you have to throw the ball in the hole and the first one to get, like, I want it to be exactly like that. Just super nostalgic, super kind of silly like that, but I want it. Yeah. Gotta have something nostalgic.
That's a good one.
Love it.
Very good one. All right, JD, what is your post-game stadium celebration?
Yeah, I didn't overthink this, and I was admittedly inspired by the Rakuten girls that we were talking about last week. It's going to be Cirque du Soleil. Acrobats come out nice. On the field from all over. You know, they'll just descend upon the field and around, you know, it'll be suddenly you'll feel like you're in a Cirque du Soleil tent, just and all manner of acrobats happening. You know, you got the bike on the tightrope, you got, you know, flips and the trampoline stuff that they do. It'll be an absolute spectacular. It'll last for like 2 or 3 minutes and that's it. And then maybe some fireworks, but really it's all about the Cirque du Soleil, which I believe was born in Montreal or close to Montreal. So keep it a homegrown talent, something unique to Montreal, and it's something that all people all around the world love.
On the field,
mm-hmm.
We're going directly on the turf, or are we on the stages? I'm just worried about your surface. I'm worried about the ball players not happy that you're digging into their grass. What are we doing here?
The groundskeepers are not going to be happy. But it'll be worth it, I think.
All right. Great stuff. The Cirque. Okay. I am going with, at my diamond, at old Violet Crown Stadium, the crown on the stadium that has been engineered. It's the 9th wonder of the world. Those points are going to light up. It's going to glow. It's going to look like a purple crown, the sort of encircling the stadium. It's a purple crown so bright you can see it from space. That's how bright it's going to be. Thank you to the Sacramento Kings for a bit of the inspiration. They're lighting the beam in Sacramento whenever they got a win. So it's sort of it's a straight beam from the roof of the arena. This is taking it up a notch. And as Chris J says here, amongst the bleacher creatures on YouTube, could be sponsored by Crown Royal.
Okay.
I'm thinking about money, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Although Chris J also says Tass getting left in the dust. Sorry, Tass. He loves yours, Joel, and he loves yours, JD, far more. So Joel, take us through. That's the end of our drafting. You know, we could have gone way further. We could have done even more, but we do care about your time here on No Bunts. So maybe we'll blow it out a little bit later in the year when we're hanging out in the summer. But do you want to wrap up, summarize your whole stadium experience for us, Joel?
Yeah, so we've just got Salt Lake City Mountaineers, open center field with the beautiful Rocky Mountains in the center field. You've got the pastrami burger as your stadium snack, and you've got an animatronic mountaineer climbing up, planting a flag while Rocky Mountain plays by Joe Walsh.
All right, there's Joel. What do you got? What do you got in summary here, JD, so the people can tell us who is best?
So my city is Montreal. They are the Montreal Smoked Meat. That's the name of the team. The stadium is going to be built next to Notre Dame Basilica in Old Montreal. It's going to have a very much a church vibe. It'll be nicknamed the church. My signature drink and snack is a Montreal smoked meat sandwich on a Montreal bagel, and it's served with Cott's black cherry soda. And the post-game celebration is Cirque du Soleil acrobats everywhere descending upon the field and over the dugout and even over your heads.
Fantastic stuff. Mine, we're the Austin Grackles. Come play with us. See if you like playing with a grackle. The stadium, it's a crown, as the area there is called the Violet Crown. Let's go down to the crown and have some smoked turkey legs with Longhorn Lager, of course. And that crown on the stadium is going to light up whenever we get a victory. Let us know who did it best. No_bunts on Instagram, or give it a whirl yourself, as Hootsky did here on YouTube. His team, the Portland Pines.
Okay, I like that.
It's okay. Good. The stadium, it's got a forest vibe. Trees everywhere. Make them the foul poles. I don't know how that'll work.
Two mighty redwoods are the foul poles.
It's going to be called the Pine Cone. His food's going to be called the Pine Cone, a special voodoo donut, which is a local place, and SAP, Spanish coffee, which was invented in Portland to go along with the donut. It's nice. Giant wood carvings for the stadium. Boom. So great stuff. Chris J says, JD, you won. Let us know who won, JD, Joel, or myself, as we built our custom stadiums. But for now, we got to get to another edition of You're Out. It's a fun recurring segment here on No Bunts. We all must eliminate one of the objects in your out. This week, this is a perfect segue. Who came up with this segue? It was Joel McMillan. Stadium home run celebrations. So we've got the Mets' Big Apple, that rising apple in center field just comes out. it's a funny one. Comiskey Park, the exploding scoreboard. It's been around forever. That's a great one. Or we're going to a minor league team for the third one. The Durham Bulls, snorting bull. Just snorts that fog substance or whatever he's doing. Joel, which one are you eliminating? The Mets' Big Apple, Comiskey Park, exploding scoreboard, or the Durham Bulls, snorting bull?
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. You don't get that many opportunities to upgrade your organization through a terrific hire. LinkedIn Jobs helps you to nail those chances. We've all searched for a job at some point in our lives, and chances are, if you're like me, you've used LinkedIn as a resource to network and follow the trends in your industry. You've spent a lot of time on LinkedIn, so why wouldn't you make that the place to post your job? LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to a perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make that process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/MLB show. That's linkedin.com/MLB show to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Cass, I picked these three, and I got to be honest, I like all of them.
Yeah.
But I have to get rid of the Mets apple. I like it. I like how it's been around for a long time, but I love the exploding scoreboard. If you look back and see old videos of the one they had at Old Comiskey Park with like the Winston cigarette and Coca-Cola ads, just so much light. And the pinwheels, it just looks so good. The new one looks okay too, but I just like it for that. And then, I mean, a snorting bull, really? I mean, how much cooler can you get? There's a couple of videos on YouTube, Taz, of players. And I know that it doesn't show it in the picture, but it says, hit the bull, win a steak, hit the grass, win a salad. I think that's kind of clever and funny too. So sorry, Mets apple, but I will say this. I love the Mets apple, think it's cool. But for the purpose of this exercise, Mets apple, you're out.
Hey, that's why we do this. It's a tough exercise. Three great stadium home run celebrations. JD, what's your opinion on this? And were you aware of these, all three of these celebrations coming into this show?
I think I was aware of the Durham Bowl just simply from the movie. Is it not in the movie? Maybe.
It must be.
It must be.
I right? believe so. Yeah. I believe so.
We're keeping that. As you say, Joel, it's just cool. I don't want to be I think I'm going get rid of the apple, but I don't know. What's this? What is the exploding scoreboard? It's literally just fireworks, right?
Yeah, it's just basically like pinwheels and the scoreboard lights up and they shoot off fireworks. The old one was a lot more colorful.
Okay. You know what? Get rid of that one.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting because it's pretty nostalgic. Joel, you're excited for when the old one, the old Comiskey Park, and when that came around, it was super cool. It was ahead of its time back then. Now, it's
fireworks. Not, it's, everybody does it.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
So I think I'm getting rid of that one. As you know, people will say, well, the Mets apple is far less entertaining. I mean, it's an apple rising.
Like how it looks.
Yeah. I like the simplicity of that one. It's funny. Yeah. It's funny. So, I'm getting rid of Comiskey Park's exploding scoreboard. Although, I used to like it. The old one, as you said. That was the one.
But they're setting off fireworks every time the Braves get a home run now. So it's like it's not a new or exciting thing. I mean, they're setting off fireworks inside the Sky Dome, like with the roof closed.
Yeah.
So it's not. You know,
it's not original.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and I'm not into the fireworks indoors because sometimes it works out fine.
Me too.
What don't you like about it?
Just doesn't work. I mean, like, it's a, you're shooting them high up into the air, you know, the Sky Dome when it's closed, fireworks. No, it just, I don't know. It looks ridiculous to me. I don't like it.
Yeah. And sometimes it can clear up really quickly, but sometimes there are some, it gets a little
smoke
smoky.
Just everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, sometimes you literally can't see everything in the stadium for a bit. What's the significance of the X on the Big Apple, Joel, are you aware?
Oh yeah, so because you said, can you send me some photos? And so a Mets player, I think it was Pete Alonso, I could be wrong, maybe the Bleacher Creatures can help me out, but a Mets player hit a home run and it hit the actual apple, so kind of as a joke they put a Band-Aid on it for the next game. Yeah, so that's not a regular thing, that was just for, you know, for that event.
Okay, great stuff. And yeah, the Bleacher Creatures helping out here. Hootsky with some Durham Bulls movie knowledge. Can't get rid of the bull, he says. The scene in Bull Durham where it gets hit after Crash tips the pitch, and he's like, he gets a fucking steak, is too iconic. So there you go. There you go. Great stuff. Bleacher Creatures coming through. Joel coming through. Fantastic stuff, Joel, today. That was a great show. A lot of fun for everybody. Make sure you're subscribing either on YouTube or wherever you get your pods. It's the Athletic Baseball Show feed. Or if you want the best sports writing in the world, head on over to theathletic.com/baseballshow or theathletic.com/nodunks. $2 a month. Best sports writing in the world. For JD, for Joel, we'll see you next time.